Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair and having perhaps the better claim because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as for that, the passing there had warned them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere, ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Perhaps one of the most well-known and beloved poems in all of American literature, written by Robert Frost, intriguingly titled because it talks about the road that he took, but is titled about the road that he didn't take, the road not taken. And perhaps this explains why in the midst of the poem he says that someday, ages and ages hence, I'll be telling this with a sigh, demonstrating perhaps some regret for taking the road that he did take. Whatever the English critics and the scholars about poetry and English might say about this, one thing that we can see here is that this author came to a fork in the road. Two roads diverged in the wood. And being just one person, he couldn't take both of them at the same time. He had to make a choice. And that is exactly where we are, and that is exactly what Psalm 1 is talking about. Two roads that diverge from us. In fact, if we can envision it in our mind, where we're standing right now, we are like the author of this poem. We are looking at two different paths. Our author tried to look all the way down the end of both paths so he could decide which way to go, and he couldn't determine. We have two paths in front of us, and Psalm 1 talks about those ways. In fact, we may be asking ourselves, whose way will we walk? That's what Psalm 1 is all about. There are two ways ahead of us, and we're just one person, and so we can't go both of them. We have to choose. I'd like for us to spend some time tonight in Psalm 1. And consider the choice that is laid out at our feet. Which direction we might go. And why we would want to go in that way. Psalm 1 is a key to the Psalms. In fact, it's a key to all of Scripture. Because it points out the way we need to go. Before we look at that way, would you bow with me in prayer? Almighty and glorious Father in heaven, we love you and we praise your name. We long for you and we long to walk in your way. We pray that you would strengthen us and direct us and guide us in your way. Because we know that you know the way of righteousness. Your way is righteous. We praise you, Father, and we long to be in your way. Help us tonight to be strengthened and motivated and encouraged to walk in the way that you know. And not in the way that perishes. Help us to bring glory and honor to your name in all that we do. Through your Son Jesus we pray. Amen. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. I'd like for us to consider a couple of contrasts that we find here in Psalm 1. I want us to note that he tells us about two travelers. He tells us about two ways. And he tells us about two outcomes. And then at the end, we want to wrap up by looking at how we need to decide between those. The two travelers, two people that he mentions in this psalm. Very interestingly, my understanding is, and I do not read one lick of Hebrew, but my understanding is that when you look at this psalm, literally, it does describe two different people. It begins literally, how blessed the man. And in verse 4, not so the wicked. And so what we recognize is there are two different people that are described in this psalm. The wicked and the blessed. I think it's interesting because we would expect the contrast to be the wicked and the righteous. You'd expect it to be the righteous and the wicked being contrasted. But instead, he contrasts the blessed and the wicked. Can we recognize why? Because those who walk in righteousness, those who pursue and hunger God's righteousness are the blessed. And the wicked are not so. Here it describes these who are the blessed. Some would tell us that we ought to translate this word happy, the happy. And let's consider that for a few moments, because the reality is most of us are longing for happiness. Most of us use that as our goal and our guide. I just want to be happy. Even here in our nation, the idea of the pursuit of happiness is codified in our national documents. We believe that we have been endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And so many of us are longing for that happiness, and we're pursuing that happiness and driving for that happiness. Many of us have made great sacrifices to try to attain happiness. And if this word is translated happy, this is going to tell us how to get there. Sadly, many of us in our pursuit of happiness have been going the wrong way. It's amazing to me the number of people I've heard, they married a person because they wanted to pursue happiness. And then a few years later, they're divorcing the exact same person for the exact same reason, to pursue happiness. Many have sought for money and fame and power and wealth because they thought that it would provide them with happiness. And yet, what many have found is exactly what the writer in Ecclesiastes said in Ecclesiastes 1 and 2. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. These normal pursuits of happiness do not provide it. But perhaps the word happy is not the best translation here. When we consider the idea of happy, at least as it's come into our English language, that word happy goes along with happenstance. Almost kind of that fortunate thing. If maybe we're lucky enough to be happy, if circumstances just happen to go our way, then we might be happy. But that's not what this is talking about. This is not talking about luck of the draw. This is not talking about happenstance and circumstance. This is talking about blessing. Blessing is not something that's just luck of the draw. Blessing is having received a gift from a blessing giver. The blessed are not simply those who by luck of the draw things went their way and now they can be happy. The blessed are those who have received a gift. And here, of course, it's the gift from God. The blessed. And that's what we long for. We don't want some kind of joyful euphoria. What we want, some kind of lucky euphoria. What we want is the true joy that comes from being in the sight of our God and Father, and His love and His blessing is poured out in our lives. Not by luck, not by chance, but by His purpose. Blessed. That's one person in this psalm. But the other person is the wicked. In the psalm, they're called the wicked, the sinners, the scoffers. But we need to understand as we consider what this psalm demonstrates to us that the wicked are not simply those who are just as evil and rotten as they could possibly be. It's so easy for us to look at everyone else and of course, well, I'm not wicked. I wouldn't be, to be wicked, you gotta be way worse than me. That's how we view the word wicked. But in this psalm, that's not what it's talking about. I mean, certainly, cannibalistic, murderous pedophiles are wicked. But that doesn't mean you have to be that wicked to be what this psalm is talking about. In this psalm, the wicked are not those who have done all the awful, terrible things they could possibly do and gone just as far in sin as they could possibly have gone. The wicked are simply those who aren't going God's way. Here in Psalm 1 and verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. The blessed is the one who meditates on God's way. The wicked are simply those who don't. The wicked are those who are going a different way. The wicked are like those in Judges chapter 17 and verse 6 and 21 and verse 25 who had no king and therefore did what was ever right in their own eyes. They didn't do what was wicked in their eyes. They did what was right in their eyes. It just wasn't what was right in God's eyes. As we consider these wicked, we need to understand who they are. The blessed, who meditate on God's law. The wicked, who simply follow in their own way, who pursue their own goals, who view themselves as being that wisdom, who gather together and counsel with one another and support one another in going away other than God's. And they would never be so pedestrian as to allow someone else to tell them how to live, especially not God. That's the wicked. Not those who've done every possible wicked thing, though of course they are wicked as well. But those who are not going God's way. And so that leads us, of course, very easily to the two ways. You have the two people, the two travelers, the blessed and the wicked. And the fact is, when you're making your choice about which way you're going to follow, you're choosing to be one or the other of them. You can't help. You choose one way, you're going to be the blessed. You choose the other way, and you're going to be the wicked. It just doesn't matter. Doesn't matter who you are. You're going to be blessed or wicked based on the way you choose. So which ways are there? There are the two ways. The blessed follow God's way. The blessed, it says there in verse 1 and 2, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. The way of God, the way that God has prospered, doing what God says. Throughout the Psalms, we see examples of those who are blessed and who love the blessing of God. Psalm 119 is an example. In Psalm 119, written by one who is blessed and who is walking in the way of the blessed, walking in God's way, listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 35 and 36. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. In verse 47 and 48 of Psalm 119. For I find my delight in your commandments, which I love. I'll lift up my hands toward your commandments, which I love. And I will meditate on your statutes. In Psalm 119 and verse 72. 119:72, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. And then over in verse 92, if your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. This psalmist recognizes the way that is from God. It's the way of his word. It's the way of his law. It's the way of his commandments. It's the way that he has taught. Psalm 19 is another great example of this. In Psalm 19, beginning at verse 7. Psalm 19 and verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. What the psalmist is saying here in Psalm 19, David is explaining, if you gave me a pile of gold over here and God's word over here, I'm going to choose God's word. God's way as demonstrated by his word. by His commands, by His direction. That is the way of the blessed. And so He will choose that. The way of the wicked? Well, that's just following their own way. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. I can't help but think of Frost's poem. Because the wicked, like the speaker in Frost's poem, like to convince themselves that they've gone the way less traveled. That they're going their own way. They're branching out and doing something on their own. And yet, interestingly, in a moment of honesty, the speaker in Frost's poem realizes that's just kind of a self-justification. Because for all of that, they really were warned just about the same. And the morning that he was looking at it, they both lay in leaves that no step had trodden black. As far as that goes, they were both about the same. I hear those who pursue wickedness and sin, and what they like to talk about is, I'm autonomous. Or you might have heard it this way, nonconformist. I'm not going to conform to all your teachings about what's right and what's good and what's normal. I'm going to be different. Have you ever noticed that most nonconformists all look nonconformist the same way? How is it that nonconformist becomes goth? Because they all decided to be nonconformists the exact same way. And they start to look the same. And that's why those who are wicked here in Psalm 1 are just walking within the counsel of the wicked. They'd like to claim that they've gone the way less traveled, but instead all they have done is listen to those who are wicked around them and pursued those exact same paths that others have gone before. They've just followed them. Oh, I'm sure there was somebody somewhere who started it. That's probably true. But in reality, it's all just been variations on old, old stories of pursuing sin and wickedness in order to try to be different. And yet they went on that way that was not as less traveled as they like to justify. We recognize that those who are wicked are pursuing what benefits them. What brings them glory and honor, the way that they have outlined rather than the way that God has outlined. In fact, if you go back again to Psalm 119, verse 35 and 36, we see this contrast. In Psalm 119, verse 35 and 36, lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. We've got the path of God's commandments. And we've got the path of selfish gain. And those who would be wicked, governed by self. And there will be gain and there will be enjoyment along that path. But you will not gain the blessing that you think that path will bring you. And I can promise you that, because not only are there two different travelers, two different people, there are two different ways. But there are also two different outcomes. And here's where Psalm 1 becomes different from the two roads that diverged in a yellow wood. Because the speaker in Frost's poem tried to look down those paths and see if he could see where they were going to lead. And if he chose to go to the one to the right, where was that going to take him down the road? And if he went to the one that was to the left, where was that going to take him? He had a choice. And I have no doubt that the speaker in Frost's poem wasn't really talking about taking a path in a wood. He had a choice and he tried to think, where's this choice going to lead? What's the next choice it's going to bring me to? And where's that going to take me? And where's that going to take me? And where's that going to take me? And if I could just see where it would end up, I would know which one of these paths to take. Here's the great blessing for us. When we consider the two paths at our feet, we actually can see the end. Right here in Psalm 1, God tells us, here's where these two paths go. You don't have to peer and squint and blink. Here it is. This is where it's going to be. And here's the thing we need to grasp. When we've chosen a path, we've chosen an outcome. It's just as sure as that. You see, some people today think, well, perhaps I can choose one path, but also choose my outcome later. That's not the way it works. The path that I choose is going to mandate the outcome I receive. It's just the way it is. I can choose God's path or I can choose the path of the wicked. And here in Psalm 1, he tells me about those two ways. Verse 6, the Lord knows the way of the righteous. And he describes it in verse 3. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, and he makes that way. He makes that way a prosperous, blessed way. Like a tree planted by waters. If you hunger and thirst for righteousness, go the way God says, because the way he knows is the way of righteousness. This passage is not saying that God's got his eye on the righteous and he knows the way they're walking. What it's saying is God knows the way of the righteous. The way that he knows, the way that he directs, the map that he provides is the way of righteousness. That's the way he knows. If you want righteousness, listen to him. He says it'll be like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf doesn't wither, and all that he does, he prospers. Wow, what a wonderful word picture. What a wonderful, wonderful word picture. The idea of a tree that is growing right beside its water source. It gets the nutrients that it wants, the refreshment that it wants. Even as a drought is going on, the last place to dry up is this river of water. And it gets to have its water. And it bears fruit in its season. And it doesn't wither and it doesn't go away. And it's not stricken. This is the path of the blessed. The outcome of those who follow God's way. And I will tell you, this prosperity that it's talking about is not talking about living in the house on the hill. It's not talking about having all the finest clothes and driving the nicest cars. Rather, it's talking about the kind of prosperity and life that's demonstrated in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the kind of prosperity that he's talking about. That's the kind of blessing that he's talking about. Would you like that? That's the outcome for the blessed who follow in God's way, who meditate on God's word, who think about what he said and allow it to fill their hearts and their minds and govern the choices that they make and the directions that they travel in life. That's the outcome. If you choose the way of the blessed, it's certain. If you choose the way of God, it is certain that is what's going to happen. But not so the wicked. The wicked, it says, are like the chaff. Verse 4. The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff that the wind drives away. It goes on to say in verse 5, therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Three word pictures here in this text that talks about the way of the wicked. The chaff. The trash. The blessed, the righteous who follow God's way are like a strong and mighty tree that gets its food and its sustenance and can't be blown over by the wind. But the wicked, they're like the chaff. So that the one who harvests the grain, and he takes the grain with all that they've plucked and all that they've pulled, and they bring it into the threshing floor. And they sit there and they toss it up in the air. And the wheat is heavy enough that it just falls down. But the chaff, the trash, the refuse, the part that you can't use, it's so light. The wind blows it away. Which would you rather be? The strong and mighty tree that can't be blown over, or the chaff that just gets tossed about by the wind? The blessed who follow God's way are the tree. The wicked who follow their own way are the chaff driven and tossed by the wind. Then there's this interesting statement, this word picture in verse 5. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The IVP Biblical Background Commentary explains here that this is actually an idiomatic expression. It's probably not what we most likely think. When I see this, I think, oh, it's saying that in the judgment he's going to be judged and he'll fall in the judgment. It's actually probably worse than that. Look in Joshua chapter 20. In Joshua chapter 20. Joshua chapter 20 and verse 9. In Joshua chapter 20, Joshua is reporting to the Israelites about the cities of refuge. You may not know what the cities of refuge are. That in Israel, if you accidentally killed somebody, you were allowed to flee to the city of refuge, and nobody was allowed to touch you if you got there until there was the trial. If you didn't make it to the city of refuge, the family's blood avenger could just kill you. But if you got to the city of refuge, then you could stand trial. Listen to what it says in Joshua 20 and verse 9. These were the cities designated for all the people of Israel, for the strangers sojourning among them, that anyone who killed a person without a tent could flee there, so that he might not die by the hand of the avenger of blood, till he stood before the congregation. Until he stood before the congregation. Hold on to that and look in Job chapter 30. In Job chapter 30. In Job chapter 30 and verse 28, Job says, I go about darkened, but not by the sun. I stand up in the assembly and cry for help. I stand up in the assembly. Here in Psalm 1 and verse 5, as it talks about not standing in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. This was actually that picture of standing up in the congregation to give defense. It's not just the idea of at the end there's going to be this judgment and you're going to fall in the judgment. Among the Jews, it was that idea of being able to give your defense to the congregation. So if you had accidentally killed somebody, you could run to the city of refuge and then you would have your opportunity to stand up in the congregation as the righteous assembly would now judge your situation. Here's what's happening here. The wicked will not even stand in the judgment, or sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Do you see what he's saying? It's far worse than just when the judgment's over, you will have fallen. It's the fact that the wicked don't even get to stand up and make their case in the judgment. In the assembly of the righteous who get to sit and pass judgment on the wicked, their actions precede them. They don't even get to make their case. Of course they're going to fall in the judgment as we think about it. Because they don't even get to defend. Their actions speak for them. They don't stand. The blessed stand tall as a tree by rivers of water. But the wicked, their actions precede them. And in the judgment assembly, they don't even get to say a word in their own defense because of their wickedness. And then finally it says in verse 6, the way of the wicked will perish. Please do not jump too quickly to saying the wicked will perish, because that's not what it says. They will, but notice what it actually says. The way of the wicked will perish. That is the idea that the way that the wicked are walking, that way perishes. This is a word picture. The way seems to promise all kinds of life and enjoyment and pleasure. But in the end, the way itself perishes. It's like the path that you're walking into the woods that you think will get you to the other side. But all of a sudden, you're just stuck in the middle of the woods with nowhere to go and no idea how to get out. The way that just leads you into the quicksand and the bog, and it just perishes right there as you get sucked beneath the earth. Or perhaps if we're thinking about the psalmists and the kind of geography that they would have been thinking of, the way of the wicked as they tried to find a path through the wilderness to safety, and the way just perishes out in the middle of the desert, and you're baked by the sun because the way you were walking just fizzled and petered out in the middle of the desert. The way perishes. What are those who walk it going to do? They're going to perish. That's the way. The way of the righteous is blessed. The way of the wicked perishes. These are the outcomes. The reality is, we're at the one end and we can see the outcome. So which way will you choose? And how can we decide which way to choose? How do we know how to walk the right way? Well, look, the psalm just tells us. It's just very simple. The right way is listen to the right counsel. Listen to God's counsel. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. When we consider the word of God, this is not just some book filled with rules to see if we can measure up to them. That's not what it is. It's a map. It's a guidepost. God is saying, look, I'm over here. Come this way. And he's provided us the map, and he's saying, this is the way of righteousness. The way that I know is the way of the righteous. You need to pursue that. The way of the wicked, it perishes. Don't go that way. I know it's tempting, but don't go that way. The key is found really in that first statement in verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. I don't know how many times I've seen it. A faithful Christian who hits a problem is trying to figure out which way to go. And so they're tooling around for advice. And instead of listening to the advice and the direction given to them by faithful, godly people like shepherds and elders, by older, more experienced members in the body of Christ, instead of listening to that, they listen to the folks at work. And when they're approached about the counsel that they're receiving, they're like, hey, look, there's not that much difference between you and me. Look, my way, your way, it's all kind of one and the same. And they start by listening to that counsel of the wicked. And then it's not long before they're standing in the way of the sinners, living a life of sin, pursuing the things that those who live in sin pursue, and then sitting in the seat of the scoffers. As they look back at those who are following God's way and they mock and they ridicule and they berate and they put down. Oh, when they first started, they never thought they would get over there. Hey, your way, my way, it's all just as good. But by the time they're done, they're sat smack in the middle of the scoffers, scorning and mocking those who would follow God's way. It happens again and again and again. And if you don't want to walk on that path, there's one solution. Listen to the right counsel. Listen to God's counsel. Get in His Word. Let it fill your mind and your heart so that it guides your step every single day. You know, I think it's interesting. We start with that poem by Frost. And I know that there are a whole lot of people that take that poem by Frost and they use it as this justification for taking the way less traveled. But I want you to think about it. Because it seems to me Frost regretted taking the way less traveled. Or the way that he justified as being less traveled. Because what did he name the poem? The Road Not Taken. What's he spending his time thinking about? That other road that he wished he had taken. But you know, here's the thing. He said in there, oh, I kept the first for another day. Yet, knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. And that's exactly the way it is. You get to a fork in the road in the woods and you go one way, you're probably not going to make it back. To take the other one and see where it goes. And that's the way it is in life. You make a choice today. One way leads to another way, to another way, to another way. There's going to be another choice. You're going to be taking that choice. Not ever going to come back to that choice that you have right now. Not ever going to get back there. And I recognize, of course, that no matter what choice you make today, you always have the option and the opportunity to come back to the Lord's way. But please understand the wisdom of this statement. As way leads on to way, if you choose to turn away from God's way today, when you get to another way, it's going to be harder to make the choice to turn back to God's way. And you're going to come to another way and another way and another way. And it just, if you choose to go away from God, it's harder to come back. Not impossible. And we'll help you no matter where you are and what way you've gone down. But I'm just telling you, if you choose today to go this other route, it becomes harder to come back to this point. Whose way will you walk? God's way? Or your own way? You don't have to be as wicked as the wickedest to be going the wrong way. You just have to be going your own way. Whose way will you walk? I don't want anybody ages and ages hence saying with a sigh, I took the wrong road. Take God's road. Take God's way. God's way works. If you're going to be using your songbook tonight, would you please pull that out now? If you're using the songbook, it's number 909. There's a fountain free. If you're not going to be using the songbook, it'll be up on the screen behind us. There's a fountain free. I've used this illustration before, but let me just share it with you again. You know, anybody else here scared of snakes? I mean, like, I am really, really scared of snakes. Snakes terrify me. Completely terrify me. I actually touched a python, one of those ball pythons one time. That was like facing fear. It was truly amazing. Snakes just scare me to death. And then I think about when God tells Moses that one time, grab that snake by the tail. You know, I'm not really scared of the snake's tail. I'm scared of the other end. The problem is you can't pick up the tail without picking up the other end. And that's often what we want to do. We hope to be able to choose to pick up the tail of the snake and choose not to pick up the head. And it doesn't work like that. We would like to choose our path and then choose the outcome that we want too. But it doesn't work that way. The path we choose determines the outcome. So I'd like to encourage you tonight, choose your outcome. Choose which person you're going to be, which traveler. And choose the way of God. Peter looked at those who had sinned by putting Jesus on the cross, and he said to them, repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Spirit. Can we help you tonight choose God's path? We're not just choosing the path, we're choosing the outcome. If we can help you with that tonight, won't you please come forward right now as we stand and sing?